reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Endow the King with your justice, O God, the royal Son with your righteousness.
He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice.
The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness.
He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor.
He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations.
He will be like rain falling on an oat field, like showers watering the earth.
In his days the righteous will flourish, prosperity will abound, till the moon is no more.
He will rule from sea to sea, and from the rivers to the ends of the earth.
The desert tribes will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust.
The kings of Tarshish and its distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts.
All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now,
and will be forever. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Ephesians. It's on page 1250, and we read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Jesus Christ on behalf of you Gentiles. By the way, how many Gentiles do we have here today? Raise your hand if you're a Gentile. Good, you all remember. So that's on behalf of you. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. It's found on page 1032. And we read Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. Behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today, Ephesians chapter 3. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. This is our text. Please be seated. I was glad to see that you all know that you are Gentiles, and that that text was specifically written and addressed to you. The day of Epiphany is a celebration, particularly for us. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, reveals himself to be the Savior not merely of the Jewish people, but as the wise men come and kneel down before him and worship him, he reveals himself to be the Savior of all people. But is that really necessary? I mean, is this whole thing of Epiphany really that important? You know, we live in a multicultural society. The concept somewhat behind that phrase is that all cultures have a value. All religions have a certain value. This one might be the one that works for you. But is it the religion that works for everybody? And that's depends very much on what kind of Savior you think Jesus is. And in our world today, even in our supposedly Christian world, there's a lot of debate about the kind of Savior Jesus really is. Is he just a teacher? And what was it that he was trying to accomplish on the cross? I'd like to read to you from some modern opinions about that issue. From the president of the Lutheran Seminary, and by the way, this is not one of our seminaries. I want to make that clear. President of the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, in a Lenten series written recently. The cross is not about the punishment for sin. Not for Jesus' sin, certainly, but also not for ours. That is, of course, a traditional interpretation of the cross. And because God is just, God has to punish sin. And because God is loving, God beats up Jesus instead of us. But I have a hunch that this understanding of the cross says more about our inadequate understanding of justice than it says about God. In contrast to this theory, I'd suggest that the cross is not about punishment, but is instead about identification, solidarity, and love. And he then goes on to explain how, you know, we all suffer and we all want to believe that we can overcome things, and because Jesus suffers, he's showing how he's sort of one with us, and, you know, as we see him overcome suffering and death, that we realize we can overcome that too. Or another very popular writer, same denomination, not ours. And just to be clear, the cross is not about God as divine child abuser, sadly sending his little boy off to be killed because we were bad and, well, somebody had to pay. This is modern Lutheran, not our brand of Lutheran, thinking about what the cross is. Did Jesus come here just to tell us that God is on our side? Well, you know, you can hear that from a lot of religions. That God would like to help us get along in this world. Well, there's a lot of religions that say that too. That God is a good teacher and wants us to be loving and charitable to one another. Really don't even have to believe in God to believe that. But is this Christ who came into the world the only answer for sin? Is sin in us so bad that there's nothing that we can do to redeem ourselves? Is God a just God? And when he says somebody's got to pay, he means it. And so we need a Savior who takes that punishment for us. Is it true what the prophet Isaiah said? That he was bruised for our iniquities. If Jesus is merely communicating a message to us about what God is like, others could certainly communicate that message as well. And that star that appeared at Epiphany, reaching out to the whole nation, to the whole world, drawing people to the Christ, who were not even of the people of Israel, was that really all necessary? Is what happens on Christmas and Good Friday and Easter about the payment for sins that none of us can make. And only God in the person of man, joined together in a mysterious way as one person, going to the cross and taking that punishment that we could not bear, so that when he rises from the dead, he can also give unto us that life that we could not gain for ourselves. Is he that kind of Savior? Or something else? Paul became a missionary to us Gentiles because he understood Jesus not as being just a Savior among many, a way among many, but as the Savior of us all. Because God is a just God. He does demand payment for sin. And Jesus goes to the cross because of what you and I and the rest of the world has done with the life that God gave us. And he bears the full wrath of God for us. Because none of us could endure that wrath and live. And he rises again. So that when we are united to him in the waters of baptism, that payment that he makes becomes ours. That life that he has becomes ours. Not because we're so good in ourselves, not because we've done something to earn it, but because he also, in addition to being a just God, is a merciful and loving God. And he didn't so love just the Jewish people. He didn't just so love people of Western European extraction, Norwegians and Germans and Swedes. He so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. The day of Epiphany is necessary. Because it is not just a Messiah of one culture. that God sent into the world. He is the Savior of the world. Because only in a Jesus Christ is God's wrath against sin, against us, finally satisfied. Only in Him, not just man, but God Himself, can the full payment that is owed to God ultimately be paid. And only in Him can that payment be made and life restored. Because as God, He has the power to conquer sin and death for us. No, He's not just the Jewish Savior. He's not just the Savior of a particular culture. On Epiphany, we celebrate that He's the Savior of the world, of Jews and everybody else, us Gentiles. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.